We're making an ad.
Napping yeah. ad.
This is where I think if we're doing it right, Alec Baldwin comes in. He says a couple things. Mm-hmm. He listens to the podcast every week. Yep. Has he been canceled? Was Alec Baldwin the one who killed somebody? I hear that Gary Sinise is free.
Oh, okay, great.
He hasn't worked since 2020.
So, what would be the script that we would have Gary Sinise say for the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast?
Listen to this damn show. Damn it.
The Napping Through Happy Hour podcast brought to you by Geekscape.
Real life, real drama, real time.
I'm Gary Sinise.
That's the ad. That's the ad.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made.
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscover Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night, continuing his streak of picking movies that you would think were picked by me. Scott no has way. Picked 1995's Mosquito.
Yeah, baby, let's buzz.
Yeah, so I'll say right out the gate, this was my first watch. I'm pretty sure it was Kyle's first watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Scott,
mine too.
Did you at least comb this?
I watched until the Survivor girl and her boyfriend smash a 5 foot size, like human size mosquito with their car. And I was like, yes, this is happening. I just have to fit it into the schedule somewhere where it would make sense. And I did.
Yes. Yeah, you did. Holy shit.
There is something I said during when Kyle was with me watching Jason Takes Manhattan for a live stream. And I said, this movie's really good except for the parts that aren't. And that's kind of like how I feel about Mosquito. I would never say this is a perfect movie, but when this movie is good, it is fucking unbelievable. You get into a couple what I would call like zombie film tropes where
yes,
it's like,
you're right.
All right, I'm like sick of these people hiding and hanging out. Like, show me more of these stop motion and puppet mosquitoes already.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had to pad it out, dude. They're not going to get 80 minutes without some like talking about existentialism.
Well, and this like bounces, this also like bounces kind of beautifully off of Loch Ness Horror in the sense of like, another movie where they are just so proud of their practical effect that they are like not pulling the Jaws move where they're like, oh, you got to wait to see this thing. You see this,
but these
you see
look
that claymation.
So much better than Loch Ness Horror. Like,
no, it definitely looks better. Mm-hmm. Loch Ness Horror, they were incorrectly proud of.
Yeah. No, but no quality control on that whatsoever.
But this, I mean, this
like
was
the one
this
head
was fun.
for Nessie. But with this, we've got a couple. Well, they definitely had to make a significant amount of mosquitoes for this because they blew up like 15 of them and they look so great.
Did you read the one fact about the first special effects guy who they went through two special effects guys because the first guy halfway through filming, said he was going to go get a pack of smokes and just never came back to the set.
So they had to hire a second person. That's amazing. Like, but then the second guy they hired was like so all in, wasn't he?
He had to have been because this shit was great. Like, this is one of those movies. I was maybe 20 minutes into this movie before I was like, this will be on my shelf one day. Like, this is definitely
finding it is
going
be
on the
hard
shelf.
Though, because this one was, it took me. So I think I found out about, or I had plans for Mosquito like last summer. It was either Mosquito or Skeeters, which came out the year before, I want to say.
Yeah, 94.
Yeah. And I think that they were originally going to call this, if I remember my IMDb trivia correctly, they were originally going to call this Skeeters, and they found out that Skeeters was in post-production. They're like, well, fuck that. So they did Mosquito. But I just love the fact there are two movies that were in production basically around the same time with almost the identical
That's a concept. Weird thing that happens though, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, not even just on the indie, like obviously it happens in big Hollywood situations, right? Where you get like Deep Impact and Armageddon dropping in the same summer, or like,
yeah,
I feel like there was Lake Placid and some other giant alligator movie came out at the same time. But like,
did Volcano and Dante's Peak?
Yeah, Volcano and Dante's Peak were the same year. Yeah. There's these weird moments where like at least with like the major studio ones, you can somewhat justify that like one studio saw that, oh, like so-and-so's putting out Volcano. We got to rush our Volcano movie.
This is pre-internet independent horror filmmaking. And the fact that both of these happened, and then they're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it's really bizarre. So one of my notes is, why hasn't Vinegar Syndrome put this out? And I found out it's because Synapse already put it out on Blu-ray. So there is a Blu-ray out there by Synapse. I don't know. Hopefully it's still in print or around.
It's gonna be like $70 on eBay.
Yeah, if it's, I'm really hoping it's not that because I loved this. I was so hype about this movie. It felt like it did fall into a lot of those zombie movie tropes. Like, it did feel like Night of the Living Dead / Dawn of the Dead a few different times, even just with the characters that were there.
Like, the archetypes are like perfect.
The archetypes are and you know, I was like, it didn't. For me, it didn't spend too much time there, so I didn't, like, it didn't drag me down completely with it, but I was like, oh, yeah, I see what's happening here. Like, it's wearing the influences on its sleeves until mosquitoes show up, and then it's all hell breaks loose.
And it was supposed to be even more ridiculous.
Oh, strap in, listeners. Director Gary Jones had originally planned for much bigger ideas with the original screenplay, many of which had to be scrapped due to budgetary concerns when the budget was severely slashed. The film was supposed to open with a massive bank heist gone wrong shootout that would have resulted in the death of a fourth member of Earl's posse. Now, Earl was played by
Gunnar Hansen,
who is the original Leatherface, which
and
comes
there's
into play
a really
very,
yeah,
very significantly later on.
Very,
so we'll get
very
to that.
On the nose reference to
I
that.
I love
fact.
It though. We'll get to how much fun that is. But anyway, Earl's posse, who we never see in the final film, what we get is Earl, his brother Junior, I believe, and then their inbred cousin who can't read a rat. We were to see the mosquito horde attack Detroit, Michigan, and a military base with disastrous results. Also, the corpses of those who had been killed by the mosquitoes would be reanimated back to life as flesh-eating zombies, which makes a lot more sense when they're down in the basement, and especially when they're in the sewer. And those that have been stabbed by a mosquito and survived would slowly become zombies themselves. Thank fuck that didn't happen, because that would have made this movie so much less fun. Last idea was not only removed due to budgetary constraints, but because the filmmakers felt it distracted too much from the mosquitoes, which is exactly why this movie works. Because if you're going to have a name like Mosquito, you need to really just focus on sci-fi mosquitoes. Okay, so we haven't mentioned the fact that the way that these mosquitoes get huge is ridiculous. So
I thought I was watching the wrong movie for at least 4 minutes.
So I skipped that first scene when I just like when I was trying to see if this was going to be a good pick for the show. I just went to the first part. I saw a mosquito and then I was like, sold. But then the very first scene, you have a UFO crash landing into a swamp, and then it's like an alien arm hanging out into the swamp and mosquitoes start sucking the blood.
I didn't fully get that. It happened very quick and very close up, but
I loved it. It was so good.
It reminds me of the opening of Night of the Creeps. You know what I mean? Like, Night of the Creeps has that same type of opening where it's like, wait, aliens are the reason why these zombies are here for like 50 years or whatever? Like, it's a strange call for any movie to make what could be a film that's explained by toxic waste or whatever.
But I think that that's what makes it fun.
Aliens did it.
Like,
no,
it's
for
more
sure.
ridiculous that way. And I think that that really shows from the first minute of this that the people that were behind this movie realized that it is absurd. And they were like, well, no half-ass in this. And that's that's okay. So I know at the beginning you said another movie that Scott picked that you would think Matt picked. But if you have any context to this movie, and I'm not saying you were wrong. I'm just saying, like, anybody that knows this movie before they started this episode, it makes absolute sense that I picked it.
Oh, for sure. I just feel like I normally have the giant animal movies pretty
you
much
get giant
locked
animal
and
movies,
loaded.
But you don't get giant mutated animals as much. That's my
true.
Territory.
That's true. I mean, I wouldn't even say this is shocking. I just got so sucked in the movie that I kept forgetting to take notes. So there'd be these huge chunks in my note-taking.
Yeah,
so
my notes are all over the place.
Well, luckily, I took a lot.
Thank God.
There's a couple up front. Obviously, love that we get this claymation mosquito is one of the first things
I actually
see.
Said in my notes, I'm like, we get stop motion in the first 3 minutes. I know Matt is loving life right now.
I'm
You're
loving
welcome,
this.
Buddy.
I love this extended version of the shake hands with beef video from
Yes,
Primus.
100%. That's exactly what it is. Speaking of shake hands with beef, the special effects of the aftermath of them hitting a mosquito looks like they just bought like one pack of hamburger meat and just threw it on the front of the car real quick. And we're like, that looks like gore. And
then well, the mosquito hadn't fed yet.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, logic. Come on now. So did you guys,
it's right there.
Yeah. I mean, like, seriously, guys, critical thinking skills are the bedrock of horror movie night. Anyway, I have to ask you, was it just me? So the survivor girl, Meg, she is on her way to her first day as a park ranger. It's not explained very well, but so I went to IMDb.
She didn't get her machine gun like Loch Ness Horror, so
she's very early
in her career.
Is she actually supposed to be doing work? Without an AR, she's not going to be doing any work. Anyway, so she's on her way with her boyfriend to start her new job as a park ranger. Actually, she's credited as Megan the Park Ranger on her IMDb, which is how I figured out that was what her job was to be. Is it just me? Or was she kind of like the great value Joan Cusack? If you not her look, but the vocal affectations to me, like if I close my eyes, I'm hearing Joan Cusack.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but I don't remember a lot of things.
You don't remember a lot of things from this.
But for sure.
I got to give a shout out to just the look of the mosquitoes, because I mean this with the utmost sincerity. Like, the props look both very cheap but extremely impressive simultaneously. Yeah. Like, it's like you could tell that there wasn't a ton of budget to put together what they wanted to put together, but they still really made it work with the limitations that they had.
Yeah, this movie fires the fuck up when those things happen. Like, it's not one of those things where I didn't feel like they piled all of their like effects and big moments onto one particular like area, but when they broke it up into sections and had just enough for me to be like, I could not believe they did that. When that mosquito chased that man out of the porta potty, like it was just 2 seconds. It was just 2 seconds, but I was like, that 2 seconds completely made it. Cause like, if I didn't see the mosquito, I would just be like, this is, they're not going to be, there's not going to be any mosquitoes.
They could have done that though. They could have done the Evil Dead, right? Where it's just the camera coming after somebody, but they really did mix in nicely that kind of shot with, I mentioned at the end of last episode, the boom of doom. That's what they called the thing that held the goddamn mosquitoes in the sky for the shots. And I just think that is so endearing. Like, they were all having a really good time making this film.
Yeah, it does sound like it was a blast.
And it feels like one of those movies when you're watching it, you feel like there was a certain point where I'm like, okay, I think I've seen all this movie has to offer, right? Like, you've seen the mosquito enough times, you're like, there's no other twists and turns. Then fucking Junior's death happens, and it's just like, what is happening? Yes. Like, it is so,
if
that's
they had
like
a better
almost
budget,
chroma level
seen
crazy.
More of that.
Dude, it was so, for me, it was so reminiscent of Larry Cohen's The Stuff. Like, it was just like this, it was just this effect that I was like, and well, so this had a lot of vibes. You say Evil Dead, you say some of the zombie tropes. I say the stuff, and then there's also like there's some of those other just beyond thinking low budget horror movies. So there's Night Train to Terror, which has its own like stop motion big effect to, like on a big scale, and it's there's oh fuck, I was went off on this rant, and there was like one or two other movies, but I got stuck on Night Train to Terror because I love that movie so fucking much.
I also love the fact that you bring so much class to horror movie night by being like Larry Cohen's the stuff instead of just being like, yeah. Oh, you're the stuff, you know. I love that.
I'm such an asshole. I'm such a fucking Gary Jones's mosquito. Yeah.
Henceforth shall be known as.
Yeah. Oh, I do. I'm talking. I think we're all talking this movie up. Probably more, not more than it deserves. It's very fun. This is like
I was
the perfect
completely
horror
sober
movie night
watching it.
Movie.
I know Matt was.
Yeah.
Were there
yeah,
Doritos
me
involved
too.
For you?
The most Doritos. There's probably been in a long time, which is why my notes are so few and far between. I actually feel like I dropped the ball because I really enjoyed watching this movie. I did. Like yeah. I was, but I sort of went off on my own, not thinking about the podcast and just like being like,
no, those
the
are the best movies,
happening? And they are. It makes me want to show more people this movie and yeah. watch it again and see what I missed and like whatever.
I would rather have a movie where I wrote down no notes because I was enjoying myself and I'm gonna retain that mm-hmm. better than a movie where I have no notes because I was so fucking bored through like large chunks of it that I just mm-hmm. write down like random deaths that are worth mentioning and nothing right. else. Like it's like right. all right, well like, how do we build 30-40 minutes of conversation out yeah. of just like,
and then
here's another way someone died. Like,
no, you know how we build conversation off of that? We don't talk about the movie.
Which we have done.
Which we've yeah. done. I do want to, so I'm gonna propose a toast to this movie with Miller High Life, the champagne of beers for the champagne of mosquito horror movies.
And I do not have a beer, but I took a picture of the beer that I would have had when I it was months ago. This was actually April 2nd. When I found this beer at a store, but I didn't really want to drink it. It sounds mm-hmm. kind of shitty, but it would yeah. have been the right color, and it has a great name. It is from Hubbard's Cave, which I believe is local, and mm-hmm. it is called Milk of the Murder Hornet. Now, that would ooh. Also work whoa. Great for any number of double features that you may want or need to couple with this film. But mm-hmm. it is a strawberry milkshake IPA, which just sounds like absolute ass to me. But this is what it looks like. It's got a giant hornet on the front. So it's very lo-fi. I feel like mm-hmm. it kind of also gives that vibe, the mosquito vibe, where it's like, we're just yeah. trying. We're trying something.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, big time. That sounds, honestly, it sounds pretty good to
me. A strawberry milkshake IPA just
it might be a little too sweet.
Yeah, I mean, you could maybe get away with a goes or something like that, mm-hmm. but not a... Mm-hmm.
See, no. and me as a non-drinker, I just hear the word strawberry milkshake, and I'm like,
no, yes. that's not you as a non-drinker. That's you as a glutton. We got to talk a couple kills, right? So the yeah. first thing is I was not expecting that second kill, which was the eye poke kill.
Yeah.
Really worked out. And again, I feel like...
Oh, like Fulci's zombie?
Sorry. Oh, well, that,
right. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to try to be very mindful.
You guys already know my what did we watch for this week is, and goddamn, does it accidentally dovetail this scene like crazy. Anyway, so that one is great. But then the part of the movie that I got really nervous watching was when they're banging in the tent that mm-hmm. first night, and the guy they're implying that the guy is drunk, but he just can't
he
act.
Had to go
so
water the
he had
plants.
To go. Yeah, he had to go take a piss. And he's like
I
drinking.
Hate that fucking term.
I love how he like is drinking and peeing, and that was so that they only had to have Foley do one sound instead of two.
Yeah. Brilliant.
But while he's peeing, his paramour is waiting for him to come back, and she's fully nude in the tent, and this mosquito comes in, and it's like putting its proboscis all over her, and I'm like, oh God, where is it going yeah. to poke her? Is this a sleepaway camp, or is this a fun poke? And yeah. surprisingly, they went with her flipping over and it sucking all the juice out of her butt cheek. Thank goodness, because this yeah, movie yeah. would have been an absolute I'm so sorry guys if it had gone any other way.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of butt. There's a lot of man butt and this, bathroom yeah, humor yeah. in this. It seemed, which like
normally maybe be like a little bit of a bummer to me. but it worked. It was just so playful. Like it was like a fun fucking movie.
And you know what? When your paramour gets eaten by a mosquito, that's what you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The best example of how playfully dumb this movie is, and I don't remember the setup because it happened and I wasn't going to try to rewind it on whatever weird program I had to download to watch the AVI file.
You don't just use VLC like normal people?
I use VLC, but I don't use it. I literally delete it every time after I use it because I'm like, this takes up space. I don't have time for space.
You're weird. VLC doesn't take up that much space. Why don't you delete one of those stupid Christian ska band records that you got on your external?
Those on a different computer. I got two.
Get out of here with your logic.
But there's the scene where they're talking in the house, and I guess they're talking about their military experience or something. And then the one guy is just like, man, and I was a Weeblo in the Boy Scouts or something. Like, it's like some random Boy Scouts joke.
Oh, you mean Brenda Ufarva?
Yes. And it leads to like 45 seconds of just like, like everyone's just like laughing and having the time of their life.
Yeah. I thought I was losing my fucking mind. I didn't realize. And then I was like, I looked at Carly and I was like, this is happening. We're still, right? Yeah. Just like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I would love for someone to make one of those like.
Of horror.
There's like, I think it's funny. This movie's not established enough for this to work. But I do like those things that you'll find online where like a movie will play out perfectly normal and then there'll be like one part that someone like loops for like an hour. They'll do like those types of edits. I feel like if Mosquito was a bigger movie and someone wanted to build like a YouTube uploaded version of it where it's like normal for about an hour into the movie and then that joke happens and then it's another straight hour of just them laughing at the joke before like the rest of the movie came out, finishes up so perfect. And I feel like you could probably get away with doing that right now, and obviously YouTube will probably pull it down, it seems, but if it didn't,
no,
it would be
they
someone's
won't.
Only
who,
source
who,
for getting
who
it.
Who controls the fucking...
I don't know. I just assume that it's not there right now, so that it must be getting taken down by somebody.
Synapse, you motherfuckers. Let us watch this movie for free.
They're holding on. They needed all that money when Kindred was taking all that time.
Bro,
so
they got that money. They got that money from me.
Let's talk about the Gunnar Hansen.
Yes.
Just... pulling out a chainsaw in 1994 and saying almost directly to the camera, "I haven't used one of these things in 20 years."
It's like, feels good, is what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. 1994 minus 20, 1974, the year Texas Chainsaw came out. What a fucking stupid but brilliant subtle joke / reference to his career. He loved this movie.
Yeah,
side note. He said it's the best movie he ever did.
It's the best movie, and Earl the Bank Robber was his favorite character, which is just wild.
Bless him. Oh,
I just feel like he was excited about getting lines, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I also think that anything that you read about the making of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre just sounds like the most hellacious shooting experience of all time. So.
Yeah, I think I actually shared that on the show that I read Chainsaw Confidential for one of my what I do, and it's and he was, I mean, Gunnar was an actor, and then he got picked to do this, or Leatherface rather, where he had no lines, but obviously he brought so much character and movement to it, but then nobody gives him credit for that until it's way too late. And then, you know, and then he's in Mosquito, which he loved. So that's,
he's wearing the same clothes for like 3 months.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh,
covered in blood and just, oh God, put that set.
When they brought the hamburger out for the first Mosquito kill, he was like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
They actually did that last. It was like almost post-production by the time they did that, because they're like,
to not
gotta
scare
keep
off,
Gunner, gotta keep the talent happy.
I will always, if we're going to talk about hellacious Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Gunnar Hansen, I'll always say my favorite story. It's on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre commentary track. He talks about the infamous scene where Leatherface falls down and drops the chainsaw on his leg. And he's like, in the original script, it said that it was going to cut off my leg. And I said, Toby, how are we going to do that? And he said, don't worry about it. It's the last shot of the movie. And I thought what he meant was, we'll figure out how to do the special effect by then. But as we made the movie, I realized what he meant was, if we cut off your leg, all of your other scenes have already been shot, so I can still finish my movie.
Poor Gunner. Absolute insanity over there.
We're making an ad.
Napping ad.
This is where I think if we're doing it right, Alec Baldwin comes in. He says a couple things. Mm-hmm. He listens to the podcast every week. Yep. Has he been canceled? Was Alec Baldwin the one who killed somebody? I hear that Gary Sinise is free.
Oh, okay, great.
He hasn't worked since 2020.
So, what would be the script that we would have Gary Sinise say for the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast?
Listen to this damn show. Damn it.
The Napping Through Happy Hour podcast brought to you by Geekscape.
Real life, real drama, real time.
I'm Gary Sinise.
That's the ad. That's the ad. That's the ad.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
We're here to entertain you. We'll sing your songs.
Hey there. Are you obsessed with things that happened before your time? Well, if you are, join me, the host of Before My Time, Gelsey Laurie, to discuss the wonders of the yesteryears that we weren't around to enjoy ourselves. You can find us on all podcast platforms.
Soon you'll be swaying, so come on, sing along.
Let's talk about double features.
All right.
To the surprise of no one that has ever listened to this show, I'm picking Tix. Okay. It's the perfect night. I can't imagine a better double feature. Like, it would just be, it would be complete serotonin for me.
Just you wait. I can top that.
The weed, not the weed.
I really just want to revisit Evil Dead, like, after this. I think.
Now, are you watching Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2? Because I feel like this screams Evil Dead 2.
It does scream Evil Dead 2, but I want to watch the first Evil Dead.
Because, I guess it owes a lot more to the original Evil Dead because they're both shoestring budgets.
Yeah, and I think that there's some Mosquito has a lot felt like it had a lot more ingenuity than anybody maybe ever give it credit for.
Well, we're giving it credit today.
We are the people. We are gonna fight for Mosquito. but I think I want to watch Evil Dead after this.
All right. So I'm not making Mosquito my A nor my B picture. I would say it's going to be my A and a half picture, because what you're going to do is you're going to start watching the movie Popcorn. And then in the movie Popcorn, when they go to watch the movie Mosquito, you're going to stop Popcorn, watch all of Mosquito in its entirety, and then go back to Popcorn.
Now, I actually knew you were going to do that, and that's why I specifically didn't mention Popcorn as we were discussing Mosquito, because I know that you get real weird about if we mention a movie before
you dare,
the one we
watch. Don't you fucking think about that movie before.
Because there were like three or four other movies that we discussed during the actual meet of this show that could easily be double features.
The stuff would have been a fine double feature.
Easily have done, like, you could do TCM 2.
Yeah, I don't think that this is a hard and loose rule. Yeah. All right. I mean, I'd be down to watch all four of these movies in one evening.
You could put a Critters up in here. You know, like, it's got some Critters energy.
Have you, has anybody seen Skeeter?
No, I couldn't find it either. The fact that I went with this is because I found this one first, and then I didn't look for another copy of Skeeter.
I have a VHS rip should we ever need to watch Skeeter, but I don't think I fucking want to now. Like,
yeah,
I feel like there's no way it can be good as this.
Send it to
me. No way.
I think that I need to see it just because I am not a completist in almost anything except for mutated bug movies.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I will get it over to you.
This is
take
one
your time. I'm not in any hurry.
So, Scott, before you sit down and watch Skeeter,
I'm sure you've watched something this week. What did you watch this week that you'd like to talk about?
Today, my friends, I was like, you know, Matt is putting me through the ringer on this show. He's saying, Scott, don't come with so much negativity. If you're going to be positive, you need to be toxically positive. And so I'm trying to find good stuff to speak well about on this show. You know, we're a family-friendly show. So I watched X, 2022. Yeah. Ty West's X, as we like to call them nowadays. And the way that it kind of feels like TCM in a million ways, I didn't even think about that when I was watching it or why I picked it. I mean, I knew that it was going to be a farmhouse in Texas, but I it's got so much. It owes everything to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I liked it. It met expectations. It didn't surpass them, but I'm happy that I spent $4 to watch it. I don't usually like spending money to watch movies anymore. If I can stream it, I'll be much happier, but it was worth the time. I think that it's visually much more, I think it's more of one of those movies that, like, it's about the aesthetic, you know. I really don't want to make a true comparison to Suspiria, only in that the movies are more about how they look. Both X and Suspiria are about how they look and less about surprising you with what happens in them. But I the last thing I want to say about it is I love the fact that Mia Goth plays two characters, but I love even more that sweet Brittany Snow plays a 1979 porn actress, and they also even get to shoehorn her beautiful voice into it. She sings Fleetwood Mac with Kid Cudi. I mean, it's just, it's a cool movie. Like, I don't know if I would watch it again, but I am very happy that it exists. I think
it
has
definitively your second favorite Ty West movie. All right, Kyle, what did you watch, listen to, read, etc.?
I watched a movie called Smooth Talk with Laura Dern and Treat Williams.
Is that a 90s movie?
80s, the year before Blue Velvet. And it's based off of Joyce Carol Oates' short story called Where Are You Going, Where Have You Been? Which has been a story that I've loved since I was in high school. And Joyce Carol Oates is a really brilliant writer. Some of her stuff is not for me, but some of it is. And that particular short story is incredible. So it's a really beautiful movie. It's Criterion put it out. So if you have the Criterion channel or if you come across it out in the wild.
Not a sponsor, surprisingly.
No, yeah, no. But if I keep calling movies with their directors in front of them and then the titles, we might get sponsored. but I forget the director of Smooth Talk off the top of my head. So it's a little bit of a coming of age story. Obviously, I was not a teenage girl in the 80s, but and the movie, if I remember correct, or the short story, if I remember correctly, is supposed to take place in the 50s or the 60s. So there's oftentimes a lot of parallels between those generations where there's a 30 year gap. You know, we're seeing it now as more kids are dressing like they're from the fucking 90s.
Bucket hats, dude, they're everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah. So, but I even style aside, it's like the attitude and the emotion and the rebellion, but also trying to connect with people in your family is all, I don't know. It's just a really great coming of age sort of thriller and
coming of age
concerning
thriller
movie.
I don't think I've ever heard of that sub genre, and I'm actually interested.
Thriller might be a little bit of a hard term. It's dramatic, but the story that it's based off of, which only happens basically in the last half hour of the movie, so there's all this build up to the tension of the short story itself, is really entertaining. And yeah, Treat Williams is fucking great. Laura Dern, I have just the biggest crush on and always have, and she's amazing in it. And It's good. It's good. Check it out if that's your fucking thing, I guess.
I'm trying to think of anything that could be classified as a coming-of-age thriller, and the only thing that I'm coming even close to is, like, maybe Stand By Me.
I knew you were going to go with Stand By
Me. Yeah, like, that's the only... Because it has, like, those thriller elements to it a little bit, but, mm-hmm. like, that just seems like a straight-up coming-of-age movie that just has a dead kid and a gang in it.
Like, thriller might be a little strong, but it is... There are... Like that last... third of the movie is all tension.
Sounds like a thriller to me.
It's great.
All right. I'm going to change it up entirely and talk about 1.5 animated films real quick. Because Disney Plus straight up just dropped what is going to probably be the best movie of the year.
You're all about fractured movies today.
I do. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, guys.
I have only heard good things. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, so Lonely Island wrote this adaptation of Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers that's basically a remake of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it's 2022 and Chip and Dale are actual creatures who used to have a very popular TV show in the late 90s called Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, and Monterey Jack has gone missing, and they decide to bring the whole gang back together to solve the mystery of who kidnapped Monterey Jack. But it is just... packed with cameos from all over the place. Will Arnett plays like Peter Pan as a gang member who's grown up now. Like, he's like an old fat man that still looks like Peter Pan, but it's Will Arnett's voice. It's fucking fantastic. It's Damn. So fun. Just a blast. And then I rewatched a movie that I've already talked about once on this show in the last year. But it is... I've decided that it is the bar that is set for what is going to be my favorite film of the entire decade. What? But the Mitchells versus the Machines is still a flawless fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, the pacing in that movie, the story, the comedy. I mean, it's Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who I feel like have just had a completely flawless career between Clone High, 21 Jump Street, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Lego Movie, and Across the Spider-Verse. Like, they're just banging on all cylinders with every project that they do. And this movie is absolutely no different. I was trying to explain this to somebody, but you guys are probably the best ones to explain to. But the first 5 minutes of this movie, I've watched 3 or 4 times, and I can't get through it without crying because I feel no surprise there, but it's so...
Isn't that every movie?
That's pretty much every movie. I mean, I cried while watching Mosquito, too. Those people had families.
Those mosquitoes had families.
The opening of this movie, you have this voiceover narration of your main character, Katie, and she's talking about how she always felt weird in school, and it shows her trying to connect with her classmates by showing them a goofy movie, like this weird movie that she made, and they all just laugh at her about it. And then there's like the voiceover where it's like, where Friends failed movies were always there, and it's like this love letter to like the people who like found comfort in pop culture. And then, you know, she gets accepted into film college and she's just like is gushing over like finding people who speak that language and understand her. And like the line that they have her say is like, "You guys know Robo Slayers? Like, no one where I live knows that movie." And it just captures so much of what I feel like we've all experienced, right? Like being in a town where you have this very specific interest that it's so hard to get other people to understand the language that you're trying to speak. And then, you know, you go to college or like the internet becomes a thing and you like meet those people who finally, like, for once you don't like, they just capture that whole thing in the first 10 minutes and it's beautiful. And then the movie just continues to be so funny, but so touching for the next like 90 minutes after that. I will forever be recommending that movie to people. Like, I don't think there'll be a point where I'm like, it's just okay. Like, I fucking love that movie. So just because I rewatched it and felt the exact same emotions I felt the first time I watched it, I was like, all right, that's special. Because there's plenty of movies I rewatch and something's missing the second time around. But
I've heard so many people talk fondly of that movie, but I will say that your recommendation now didn't sway me. No, I'm just kidding. It might send me to go watch that. I'm eager to watch it tonight if we don't have anything else going on. So
yeah, all right.
If the boy goes down, all right.
So real quick, we'll jump to an email from Kevin. This one is from August 2021. So again, we're past the year ago mark. We're catching up. It says, "Hey guys, I just started listening to your back catalog, and I gotta say that I love the show. The intro music fucking rips. I've got that song stuck in my head constantly. I just finished listening to your episode on Slumber Party Massacre 2, and going into it, I was sure I had seen the movie before. Turns out what I watched was Sorority House Massacre 2, which takes several scenes from the first Slumber Party Massacre movie and completely changes the backstory. If you haven't watched it before, you should give it a watch. The creepy neighbor alone is worth watching it. Also, I have a couple movie suggestions, which I don't think you've done yet. I've been in a werewolf mood lately, so I'd love to hear an episode on either Dog Soldiers or Howl. But if you want a movie that you can just rip apart, I'd really like to hear your take on Derailed. I've explained the storyline to people a few times, and it just makes no fucking sense. Cheers, Kevin."
Now, did you hear that? This, again, this is just the kismet of this episode, and it's been happening a lot this year. Did you hear me make a Slumber Party Massacre 2 reference at the very beginning of the episode?
Yep. Sure did. Let's buzz.
That's fucking wild that just happened.
That's crazy. I remember the Sorority House Massacre VHS tapes at my video store, and they looked even too sleazy for me to be interested.
I have watched all three. Maybe I've only watched the first one. I can't remember which is which. I know that I have furtively watched at least one of the Sorority House Massacre whatever movies. They're not nearly as sleazy as if I'm remembering correctly, they're not as sleazy as the box art made them look, but it's still not, I don't know. Like, there's not enough for me to remember what's what.
The first one is very dreamy.
Those were like the two VHS covers.
Witchcraft
I just remember
is
littering.
Super sleazy. Well, not the first Witchcraft, but. Oh, no, no. Well,
the 14 after?
Did Witchboard become Witchcraft? Is that what I'm.
No, they're two separate things. I think Witchcraft was like its own like exploitative
it's
franchise.
Very sleazy. I know all the other ones. Like we've seen that whole like grid of all the Witchcraft covers, and they look like romance novels.
Yeah, but I remember those boxes and the Sorority House boxes in my Blockbuster video store being like, these look sleazy by even my standards.
I think I made the joke that for a Patreon episode, I would want to go through all the Witchcraft movies and just do like a, like, just, I don't know, 20 minute recap of all of them. But
if you
20
do that, that's
for
a lot of work.
That's a it's, lot of fucking
I
work.
I thought that you said that you would do Puppet Master, but maybe I was
I'll do Puppet Master.
Both of them, a lot of work.
I'll do whatever you want me to do, Scott.
I don't think that the Patreon pays you enough to. They don't pay you shit. I don't think that they pay you enough.
I'm just vlogging myself
through, like,
as I watch
Puppet Master. I don't
think I have enough money to buy enough Doritos
to watch all Puppet Master movies.
You're like a college pledge that's hazing himself. Like,
yeah. They didn't even bid on me, but I'm really trying to get into. Before we sign off, I just wanted to say that this episode is coming out during the Chattanooga Film Festival, which The Woodsman is premiering at, and it started yesterday. At the time of recording this, I don't know what time slot, so if you missed it, I'm sorry. But regardless, you should check out Chattanooga. They have an amazing lineup of films. One I'm really excited about is a documentary about the history of metal music and horror together.
No one else get to that concept? That is like just staring us all in the face. It should have been us.
No fucking kidding, right? And then there is a new found footage, as in like a shaky cam, but
like a Poughkeepsie
collage
tapes, like a
almost a new version of Stephen King's The Langoliers, which also sounds really fascinating.
I'm down for that.
Chattanooga has an amazing lineup of films that I cannot believe that The Woodsman is playing alongside any of those, but it is.
Believe in yourself, Kyle. Anybody listening doesn't know what The Woodsman is, it's Kyle's new short film. You need to watch it.
Yeah,
yes.
The first
of
what will be many festival appearances.
I feel good about it. This was like a weird Hail Mary that somehow paid off, and I'm fucking stoked. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there into the universe. Hopefully there's more screenings to be announced soon. But that is that's what's up.
All right, well, that was Mosquito from 1995 as picked by Scott. We'll be back next week with another Kyle pick. And man, just based on some of his other picks, definitely in line.
Oh, hell yeah. I had to think about what that was.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a good
Fuck
one.
Yeah.
No, it's actually, yeah. it's a little bit more our brand than yours for once. And mm-hmm. I think that we're all going to have a really good time. So
it's
I'm looking forward
time.
To our date.
Yeah, just scan our feed and try to figure out which movie we haven't talked about yet. And again, worth mentioning, Kevin gave us a couple movie suggestions. If he wants,
is
if
Derailed
you,
a fucking thriller that
I have
takes
no
place
clue.
On a train?
Maybe.
Oh my god!
If you have some movie suggestions, hmnpodcast@gmail.com. Get them to us. Listener submitted month is in September. We need those submissions so we can decide what movies we're going to watch that you guys want us to watch. You send us emails all the time, shouting it out when we're not accepting. invitation now we are and also just send us emails, let us know what questions you got. I like doing these emails at the end. Anyway, we'll be back next week with more Horror Movie Night.
Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
We're making an ad.
Napping yeah. ad.
This is where I think if we're doing it right, Alec Baldwin comes in. He says a couple things. Mm-hmm. He listens to the podcast every week. Yep. Has he been canceled? Was Alec Baldwin the one who killed somebody? I hear that Gary Sinise is free.
Oh, okay, great.
He hasn't worked since 2020.
So what would be the script that we would have Gary Sinise say for the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast?
Listen to this damn show. Damn it.
The Napping Through Happy Hour podcast brought to you by Geekscape.
Real life, real drama, real time.
I'm Gary Sinise.
That's the
That's
ad.
The ad.
That's the ad. That's the ad.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.